All right, it's good to see you this morning. So glad that you're here in the Lord's house. We're glad to all of you have come to worship. It's good also to think about those that might be in the parking lot and also those that will be listening on the website later this afternoon. But it's so good just to worship the Lord together. He's given us a beautiful day. For all of those that you farm and garden, the good rain yesterday, so we're blessed. Let's pray together. Lord, it's good to be in your house. We thank you for your people that have gathered here to worship. We thank you for those who've gathered to worship all around the world. Lord, just to lift up the name of Jesus, to honor him. And we pray, Father, that wherever your word is proclaimed, that people might come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. We pray that folks might be encouraged, that you might speak your will to various ones' hearts. And Lord, in every way that we might be pleasing to you. Lord, this is your service. It's not to glorify me or anything else. Lord, it's just to honor you. And so may Holy Spirit, who's already here, just do those things that would honor Jesus. Speak to our hearts and bring glory to yourself. In Jesus' name, amen.
Well, good morning. Everybody looking good this morning. They really are. Good to see this number here this morning. I want to say a great big welcome and good to see Miss Barbara here, Miss Barbara Whitley. So good to have you back, Miss Barbara. Good to see you. And Miss Shirley, you're back there, dear. Good to see you with us this morning. She's a trooper. She's here. And good to see you all. Good to have all of you back. Bob and Janice, Bob, good to see you, friend, doing well. So it's always good to have everybody back, and it's good to be inside, isn't it? Yes. So let's do a hymn sing this morning. Let's sing a song together. We got a good old song that Kathy and I talked about. It's one of the most favorite songs we could sing, Amazing Grace, okay? Everybody stand. Let's sing verses 1, 2, and 3. Let me be on the board for you. And hymn sing, Amazing Grace. 1, 2, and 5, excuse me. Somebody at church this morning, say good morning. Well, good morning again to you. I have a few announcements I want to share with you this morning. You know, we're looking at the calendar this morning, and you know, May is upon us. And when coming from May comes two important things. Well, the one, the most important thing is Mother's Day. And the other was my birthday. So and his birthday. And my wife's birthday. Yes, that's right. It was, absolutely. But Mother's Day, all seriousness now, Mother's Day will be May the 9th, and so we'll be planning for that, and you all make sure of that. We want also to remind you that we'll continue on with our services inside the sanctuary. We're very happy with the response we've received. And of course, that and those on the outside today, the parking lot, we welcome those as well as the webcast at 12:30. That'll be available to you as well. Our MC Baptist Children's Home food drive is in full steam, and we're getting food here. I think today is the last day for the food to come. And you can send your money right through the month of May. So do that, and if hadn't already done that, you'll have time to do that. And it's by a gift card or by a check. And just make your check out to Barbers Grove Baptist Church and tag it for NC Children's Home Food Drive. And that way it'll be taken care of, okay? All right. We've also got Jeff is going to be want to talk to us a little bit about a barbecue. So, Jeff, we'll turn it over to you, sir.
The Baptist men's going to be doing a Boston butt sale the last weekend in May. Don't have the exact date for pickup. We're going to talk about it today after the service, whether we're going to do it Saturday, Monday, however we're going to do it. But the other things, I don't have the prices. I will have all that information next week. But please plan to buy Boston Butt. We're trying to raise a little money and make sure we keep a little money in the coffers. And I need to see the Baptist men right after the service.
Okay. All right, yeah. It's that time again, isn't it? We need to do it. All right, that's all the announcements I have, except for them to remind that we talked in the conference last Sunday. The building and grounds will be the one spearheading the drive to and working to for the improvements of the church. But if you have any suggestions at all, do you want to give it to the building and the ground? Building and the grounds will work at it and bring it back to the church for approval. So that money, of course, will be all that money. The money will be used from the money we receive from the selling of the parsonage. Okay, so we'll be sure everybody understands how that's all going to work. And so, I'm praising the Lord for His love to us. All right, that's all the announcements I have. I have some prayer requests this morning that I want to share with you at this particular time. We need to keep praying for Brenda. Brenda is home. She's convalescing. The surgery was successful. And so she'll still be away for about four or five more weeks. So let's pray for Brenda Burris. Jeff's family, my son Jeff. All six of them have been tested positive for COVID. And that's quite a shock. I mean, it really is. And if you're wondering why I was not out there amongst you this morning, that's the reason. I have not been what I would call exposed, but I'm not going to take any chances whatsoever. So if you see me leave after a while or when it's over with pretty quickly, it's not that I don't love you, not that I don't appreciate you. It's just I'm being careful. But I've had my shot and all that good stuff, so I think I'm going to be all right. But still, pray for Jeff and pray. He's the sickest one of all right now, and Adam. So pray for them and that God will touch their body. Let's continue to pray for Chris Boone. And Chris is our friend and up in Virginia, Lee's friend that we've been praying for and on our prayer list. Let's pray for him. I understand he's getting some better, David and Stacy. So that's a good thing. And Lee and Emily are better. I read it from their case when battle with it, right, Stacy?
Yeah, they did test positive for it. They're doing okay. Nobody's in the hospital, so that's good.
Yeah. Wonderful. And Rita, your mom, how's she doing?
She's doing good.
Wonderful. 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 And Kenny, your mom's doing better, I think, wonderful as well. Or not wonderful, but better. And, that's great news. Great news. All right. Is any other prayer list, anybody want to have a prayer for the prayer list? Anybody at all? Yes, give it.
The family of Larry Holmes, which was my mama's first cousin.
Yeah.
Cindy Spake's dad.
Oh, okay. Okay. Okay.
Marvin will be having surgery tomorrow.
Oh, really? Okay.
He's got cancer on his face.
Okay.
They removed it and they didn't get it
off. Okay. Anyone else?
Just keep Amy Bain's family in your prayers.
I'm sorry, Amy Baines. And what was it? Surgery today, you say?
No, she
had her funeral. Oh, the funeral. I'm sorry, I missed it. Okay. Family, okay. All right. Anyone else? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the blessings you give us each and every day. And Lord, before I ask you this, Lord, for blessings, well, I say thank you. Thank you for the praise reports that we've shared this morning. But Lord, there are needs that we need to bring before you today. We pray, Lord, for those that are hurting today. We pray for Brenda. Keep praying for her as she convalesces. Pray for Jeff and his family, the entire family, Lord, as they deal with the COVID. We lift them up to you today. We pray for the Chris Boone and his family. We pray for them, Lord, as Chris is convalescing from COVID. We also are thankful to hear that Lee and Emily are better. We thank, praise God for that, as well as we're glad to hear that Rita's mom is doing. We continue to pray for her and Kenny's mom as well. We pray for the Larry Holmes family, Lord. And then, Lord, we lift up Marvin to you, Lord, as he will have skin surgery tomorrow. Lord, these blessings we would ask that you would touch their bodies, and if it be your precious will, Lord, to heal them to another degree of health. Now, Lord, we go forward now in our service today, and we're thankful for all those that are here today. We're thankful, Lord, for those that prioritize their time to be in your house today to worship your name. We pray for Pastor Ed as he'll come forward today, Lord, and as he presents the message to us in song. We thank you, Lord, for all those who have a part today in today's service. We lift them up to you in prayer. And these blessings I ask, Lord, in your name. Amen. I'm going to sing a song this morning. And Tonda, we've got music for it because it's one that the choir has sung before. But as I got into it this morning, I realized that I like to sing it in a certain way. And the music likes to go the other way. And it never works when you try that. But I've never had a song that the devil has fought me any more to try to sing than this song I'm going to do today. And I can only tell you one reason. Somebody's going to be blessed by the words of this song today. I don't know who you are, but I promise you somebody is going to be touched by these words of this song, because the devil's fought too hard for me to do it. But I'm just so thankful that this song talks about salvation. And it talks about the fact that when we are saved, we are new creatures. And all the old things are passed away. All the old sins, Pastor, are forgotten about. And that's what the song says. And it gives us all a chance to say, I'm free. So we'll do it this way. So long I have searched for life's meaning, enslaved by the world and my greed. Then the door of my prison was opened by love, for the ransom was paid. Now I'm free. I'm free from the fear of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. So I've traded my shackles for a heavenly song. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. I'm free from the guilt that I carried, from the dull, empty life I'm set free. But when I met Jesus, he made me complete, and he forgot the foolish man I used to be. I'm free from the fear, sing it with me, of tomorrow. I'm free from the guilt of the past. So I traded my shackles for a glorious song. I'm free, praise the Lord, I'm free at the last. Sing it one more time. I'm free, praise the Lord, free at last. Thank you so much. God bless you.
Isn't it good to be free? To know that sin is gone and you're on your way to heaven. Praise the Lord. Now, I identified with what Leonard said about he wanted to do it one way and the music wanted to do another, because I'm one of those that I sing one way and the music's always another. Those of you who've heard me know. Okay, the children need to be heading off to children's church. Yeah. Any more that want to go? Turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 5. Book of Luke, chapter 5. And we'll start at verse 1. Came to pass, as the people pressed upon him to hear the word of God, he stood by the lake of Gennesaret, and saw two ships standing by the lake, but the fishermen were gone out of them and were washing their nets. And he entered into one of the ships, which was Simon's, and prayed him that he would thrust out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people out of the ship. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught. Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes, and their net brake. And they beckoned unto their partners, which were in the other ship, that they should come and help them. And they came and filled both the ships, so that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' feet, her knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he was astonished, and all that were with him, at the draught of fishes which they had taken. And so also was James and John, the sons of Zebedee, which were partners with Simon. And Jesus said unto them, Simon, fear not, from henceforth thou shalt catch men. And when they had brought their ships to land, they forsook all and followed him. Now, I told Tony I was going to talk about my first fishing trip. It had to be over 70 years ago, because Mama was in the hospital having one of my little brothers. And early one morning, my dad got me. We were at home, and we went to a nearby lake, got into a little flat-bottom boat that he had built himself, went out to a line that he had stretched across an inlet and had various hooks scattered along that line. He took the fish off of there, and we went back home, and my grandmother cooked the fish. Now, we had never gotten to that line that he had stretched across that inlet without the boat. You know, boats are important. I guess all of our ancestors got here on a boat. Unless you're a Native American, you came from somewhere over in Europe, and it wasn't one of those Star Trek things. Scotty beamed me over from Europe to America. Our ancestors came by boat. And then some of you have been on these cruises where you get on the big liner and you go to these various ports. Some of you have water skied, and then some of you are fishermen. That boat is your opportunity to go fishing. Now, those of you that go fishing, if you think about it, there's three or four categories of fishermen. There's some that go once in a while. There's some that go as often as they possibly can. And then there's some that fishing is a way of life. In other words, they're out there every day fishing, trying to make a living off of that boat. Now, how does that relate to you as a Christian? Notice that Jesus said, "You guys come follow me and I'll make you fishers of men." Now, interesting, when you catch a fish, eventually it will die. But when you catch an individual, you bring life to them, eternal life. What you just sang about, you bring that eternal life. When you fish for men, and bring them into a saving relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. How marvelous it is when we can do that. Now, as you think about it, would you describe yourself as just a traveler, a pleasure seeker, a skier, or a fisherman? Do you really fish for men? You know, serious fishermen want to know where the fish are. They're going to go where the fish are. They're going to learn where the most likely can catch the big ones. There's several big lakes around the Tulsa area where we lived in Oklahoma. And almost monthly, there would be in the paper about some big fishing tournament and people coming in from all over the United States to fish. And they'd come early, several days early, and they'd scout out the particular lake that they were going to be fishing on so they could find where they could catch the big one and win the big prize. Serious fishermen know where the fish are and they know what kind of bait to use. Now, even though I went that fishing trip 70 years ago, and I've been a few times since then, I am not a fisherman. I have no fishing equipment. I know, you know, I've seen a few. One time I did, but I couldn't catch anything except some like this, and then some little ones. It was just interesting. I'm just not a fisherman. But you know, as a serious Christian, we need to be fishing for men. We need to be seriously looking for people who do not know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. We need to be going where they are. We need to be looking for ways to reach them. And we need to study our Bible so that we can witness to them. You know, the scripture says, always be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within you. Now, folks, don't condemn yourself if you don't know it all. I guess over the last 65 years, I've read every verse in the Bible on numerous occasions. But how many times I've shared with somebody, and then all of a sudden when I get home, I think, why didn't I think of that verse? That would have been the perfect one. Unless we have a photographic memory, there's always going to be times when we're going to not think of the verse that we want. But learn the scriptures. Make you a little card and put it in your Bible or stick it in your billfold so that you can share Jesus with people that need the Lord. Know what is needed to share the gospel. Let me ask you a question as a Christian fisherman. How often do you go fishing? Never? Seldom? Often? Or is it a way of life with you? You know, our nation's trouble. People are confused. There's folks questioning their values, wondering what's right, what's wrong. Now's a great time to go fishing. Because there's all kinds of people around us that need Jesus. Every day when you look at the news, people have died, murdered. Like Robert and I were talking about this tragic accident with a submarine that cracked open. You're interested, you know, you read and here's this important politician that's died, this actor that has died, this musician that has died, this athlete that has died. And you know, some of them murder, some of them accidents, some of them old age, some of them disease. And my first thought is always, how sad. My second thought is always, where'd they go? It doesn't matter whether they have a pauper's grave or a $1 million funeral. What really matters is, do they know Jesus when they died? Did they know Jesus when they died? You know, that's only two alternatives, heaven or hell. The Bible gives us no other alternative but to go to heaven or to go to hell. And I always wonder, where did these people go? Where did they go? Were they prepared to stand before the Lord? And it's not a matter of what I say about them or what anybody else says about them. It's a matter of what Jesus says. I know them or I don't know them. That's all that matters. When I was at Troy, I baptized a little girl, and the joy on that family's faces that day was precious. You see, Mom and Dad are about our age. Not Grandma and Grandpa, and they're super nice Christians. Their children are Christians. The children's spouses are Christians. And this was the last grandchild to accept the Lord. And the joy on their faces when they knew that everybody was in. That if Jesus came at that moment, the whole family was going to be together in heaven. Thinking of the old song, and call on Leonard to sing it here in a minute. Will the circle be unbroken? Will the circle be unbroken by and by? Will the circle be unbroken in the sky? What about your family circle? I think it'd be interesting if you'd go home and this afternoon or someday this week, you'd get out 3 or 4 sheets of paper. You draw a big circle on one of them, put your name in the middle, and then list all your family members. If they're saved, put it in red. Put their names in red because they're covered by the blood of Jesus. If they're not saved, put their names in black because they're still covered in their sin. If you're not sure, maybe put their names in blue or some other color. Draw another circle. Put your name in the middle. List all your neighbors, red, blue, and black. If you still work, draw another circle. Your name in the middle, all your co-workers. 1 more. Name, your name in the middle, your acquaintances. Maybe golfing buddies, fishing buddies, schoolmates. How many of them know Jesus, and how many of them don't? And you put those on the wall or a bulletin board or the refrigerator, and very easily you've got a prayer list. You just look right there in those names in black, and you've got a prayer list. You, those names in blue that you're not sure about, you've got a prayer list. And today, as we think about people that know, don't know the Lord, how can we reach them? You know, with the COVID and the mask and the social distancing and everything, it's more difficult. But you know, there's even subtle ways. What kind of Christmas cards do you send? The fat guy with the red cheeks and the red nose, ho, 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 or a manger scene that says Jesus is the reason for the season. You know, when we send a Christmas card to a lost person, you can very subtly witness, and they're not going to be offended. What about birthday cards? I don't know whether you've noticed, but some of them have gotten pretty vulgar. I go in there looking for a birthday card for my wife or for my kids or other friends, and I pull out something, and I thought, oops, not going to read that. Not going to send that to anybody that I know. But you can send a birthday card that says something like, I'm so glad God brought you into my life. I'm so glad God made you a part of my family. I'm praying for God to bless you. Same way with thinking of you cards and get well cards. All kinds of ways we can subtly witness and let folks know. Sympathy cards. We can always let people know about the Lord. We can't do some of the things we once did, but people still need Jesus. And we can do what we need to do, just as depending on what kind of fish you're fishing for, what the season of the year is, your bait can change. But you can do what you can need to do to reach people for Jesus. Now, in that passage that we read a moment ago from Luke 5, a couple of things that just point out, it's not a deep theological explanation, but this. First, they used what they had. They used Simon's boat. They didn't have a submarine. They didn't have an airplane. They didn't have a helicopter. They had Simon's boat. They used what they had. And every one of us has our own experiences. And you see, if everybody in this room did what I said a moment ago about drawing those circles, and we brought them all back in here and put them on the wall, their places, especially because some of you are kin to one another, where your circles are going to overlap. You got the same kin folks. And some places are going to overlap where you got the same friends. But everybody's going to have a different set in a lot of areas. And only you can use what you have to witness to the folks in your circle. You're not responsible for my circle, I am. That doesn't mean that I might not give you a name and say, would you pray for this person or that person? But the question is, those in my circle are those that are most my responsibility. And those in your circle are the ones that are your responsibility. And then use what you have. Use what your skills are. You know, I pick on people. I pick on Pam and Janice back there. They make beautiful cards. That's a skill I don't have. Y'all, those of you who go to Bible school, y'all seen my craft skills. Amen. But that's what people can do. Use what they have. Use what's available. Use what's good at. I'm better at giving somebody a listening ear. And it may be through a text or it may be through a phone call. But I'm better at that than I am at doing crafts. That doesn't make you better than me, me better than you. It just means that God has gifted us all different. And as God has gifted us in different ways, you know, Matthew, as far as I know, didn't have a boat. But Simon had a boat and he said, Jesus, you can have it. You can use it. And by allowing Jesus to use that boat, many people heard the word of God that day. Second thing that's in this passage of Scripture is this. Do what the Lord tells you, even if it doesn't make sense. Jesus said in verse 4, launch out into the deep, let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we've toiled all night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. Well, in the first place, they didn't fish usually during the day. They fished at night. In a sense, there weren't any fish around. They'd already tried all night and caught nothing. Fish must have been at the other end of the lake or something. But Simon said, Lord, you say it, I'll do it. And they were astonished at what they caught. Why do you dream about certain people sometimes? Maybe the Lord wants you to pray for them. It's amazing with me that there are times that go and I'll dream about a high school classmate that I've not seen in 50 years. And I wake up the next morning and say, why did I dream about him? Why did I dream about her? I don't even know where they live. But I take it as a sign from God that I need to pray for them. Why do you feel that urgency to pick up the phone and call somebody? If it's God speaking to you, call them. There are times when it doesn't seem like right, but if the Lord's speaking, obey. And the third thing that's here is that there was worship and they followed him. You know, Simon Peter just falls down and he says, Lord, I'm a sinful man compared to you. Lord, I don't get it. But then Jesus said, follow me and become a fisher of men. And he says, they left their nets, they left their boats, and they followed Jesus. And you know the story. They changed the world by following Jesus. We can be a traveler on a boat. We can be a water skier. Not if you're as clumsy as I am. We could be a cruise rider or we can be a fisherman. God says, if you look at Mark 16:15, and if you look at Matthew 28, go into all the world, preach the gospel. And he wasn't talking just to preachers. Because you see, you go back to those circles. My circles won't overlap yours in a lot of areas. And only you can preach the gospel, share Jesus. And you don't mean you have to prepare a sermon. It just means you prepare your heart. You prepare your mind through learning the scripture. You make yourself sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. And then you're obedient. And you become a fisher of men. Right now, our world desperately, desperately needs what only Jesus can give them. Our world desperately needs what only Jesus can give them. Yeah, it would be great if we could wipe out COVID. It'd be great if we could do away with hate and murder. But you know what? If we did away with COVID, if we did away with murder, the death rate is still what? 100%. And all are going to heaven or hell. All are going to heaven or hell. The Lord said, be fishers of men. Seek to reach people for Jesus. Now, all will not say yes, but that's not your responsibility and my responsibility. Our responsibility is to share and know that there are those that will come up to us in heaven and say, thank you, thank you, thank you for sharing Jesus with me. And that there will be those who stand before the great white throne judgment seat of God and say, well, I didn't know I could be a Christian. And the Lord will say, remember so-and-so when Ed shared with you, when Pamela shared with you, when Leonard shared with you, or when somebody else shared with you? Oh. They missed it, but it won't be our fault. Somebody's waiting on you to share Jesus with them this week. They're waiting on me to share Jesus with them this week. Let's be faithful. Let's be faithful. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? If you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, I invite you to do that. If you're here and you need to maybe transfer a letter to this church, we invite you to do that. you need to come to the altar and pray for yourself or pray for somebody particular that doesn't know Jesus, would you come? We're going to have a few moments just of silent music. It won't be silent, but music. No singing, just between you and the Lord. And even if you don't come, if the Lord brings to mind somebody that you know needs Jesus, somebody that would be written in black in your circle, would you pray for them right now? Father, I know from just watching this congregation that there's some folks that are touched. And they're praying. And Father, I thank you that your promise that when we ask, we receive. When we seek, we find. When we knock, it shall be open. I thank you for your promise that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. I thank you for your promise that it's not your will that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And so, Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, we claim a harvest of souls for the kingdom of God. Father, I claim the souls of those that have been prayed for in these last few moments. Father, I thank you for opportunities that we'll have in this coming week to share Jesus. And I thank you, Father, that we're going to share not in our own power or our own ability, not just seeking a trophy, but Father, seeking to love people into the kingdom of God. Father, I thank you that we go not in our own strength, but in the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I thank you that your will that they be saved, and Father, I thank you that the Spirit draws them as we lift up Jesus. And Father, I thank you for a harvest that's going to fill the boat. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you, and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for coming.